Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a man who is walking on a mountain pass one day, and as he is walking, he stumbled upon a rock, he lost his balance and fell over the cliff, and as he was tumbling over and over and over down this cliff, he finally was able to grab a small little brush hanging outside of the cliff, and there he hung watching the world below his feet, full of rocks, full of death. And so this man hanging there looks up above the path and says, "Is anybody up there?" And to his amazement, a voice came from heaven. "I am the Lord your God. I am here." And the man yells up to God, "Well, what should I do?" And God said, "Let go of the branch and you will float harmlessly to the beach below." And the man looks down and sees the jagged rocks, and he looks back up and yells, "Is anybody else up there?" I was worried that being in mountain country, that might be used already. So if it was, I apologize. You see, sometimes having faith is hard. Sometimes the places in our lives when we're holding on to those branches, having faith is difficult. But Jesus said in our gospel lesson this morning, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Don't let them be troubled. You see, in the ELCA, every synod has a companion synod somewhere around the world. Every synod does. And so here in the Rocky Mountain Synod, your companion synod is Madagascar. And you have a wonderful relationship. Again, the bishop was just there about a month and a half ago. Well, in the Eastern North Dakota Synod, the one that I just came from, our companion synod is the Central African Republic, CAR. It's in the middle of Africa. Well, a number of years ago at our synod assembly, we had some leaders from the Central African Republic speaking at our synod assembly. It was a marvelous thing. It was exciting to hear their stories of faith. Well, they told one story about that is pretty typical for them. On the way to the airport, they ran across a couple bandits that had AK-47s. And often when I travel to Africa, it's young kids, teenagers. And so they tried speeding past this little checkpoint, and so they started opening fire on their own car. And they all made it to the airport, but when they got to the airport, they're like, "Okay, let's do some damage control. Let's look at the car." And they noticed a bullet went right in front of the driver's head, and another bullet went right behind those sitting in the back seat. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Well, last weekend at the Synod Assembly, I sat for lunch with a congregation, a few members. They didn't have a pastor. They were just there by themselves and had a great conversation. They shared about their last couple years and how much of a struggle they have gone through trying to find a leader, a pastor for their congregation to fit their context. They would think they'd have a pastor, and then they didn't. They would withdraw their name, or they'd try to extend a call, and it just wasn't a good fit. They were struggling. But here at that Synod Assembly, they think they have a pastor to call. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Well, that Friday night, I decided to check out the scene in Colorado Springs and went to the bar called The Zodiac. It had the highest rating. They had a live band, and so I thought it would be fun to go. Well, I didn't know the bands, and I found out that it was screamo music, and so if you know that genre of music, you'll know it might be a little difficult. Well, it was interesting to look out on the floor and to see, and you knew, plain in sight, those who were there for the band. And it was easily to see who was there to fit in, or who was struggling to fit in. And this pastor geek was one of them. I looked like I didn't belong. I was wearing sandals. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Well, I can't help but also lift up some of the struggles that Wyoming is facing. You see, my home state of North Dakota is facing the same difficulties that your universities are also facing. We have close friends there that share that struggle. When we hear news of the university letting go of 50 support staff, and also on Laramie Live, I saw that our county was also letting 10 people go. I mean, we brush this off quickly to say that, right, Wyoming and North Dakota goes through these downturns and these swings, and we seem to cast it off so quickly, but it's still hard and it still hurts. But Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You see, as a police chaplain, every May, we have a time where we recognize the officers who have died this last year. So last May, I was in Fargo, and the Peace Officer Memorial was right next to the congregation I was serving. And so every year, we come together, and we read the names of those who have died, and there's usually a speaker, and last year was a woman whose brother died at the age of 21. He was sworn in at the age of 20, and during a traffic stop, he was shot and killed. You see, after her story, at the end of the service, we ring a bell for every officer killed in the line of duty that year. They rang the bell 105 times. And I was going to ring the bell for us today. You see, it's hard to comprehend that one bell was one person's complete life. One bell. One ring for every tragedy, one ring for 1,000 tears shed, one ring for a lifetime of relationships lost. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, I can't help but stand in front of you today saying, my heart's troubled. You see, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled, but Jesus isn't saying that trouble will never come. Wouldn't that be nice? You see, we have a lot of pastors in our country that love to preach that if you have a right relationship with God, if you come to worship every single Sunday, if you give 10% of your income to the church, that you will never have a problem in your life. And I'm not saying that God doesn't come to us in moments and times of distress. But just because you come to worship doesn't mean you have a pain-free life. You see, theologians call it that prosperity gospel. But as Lutherans, we believe in the theology of the cross. We're still in the season of Easter. Jesus suffered and died and was raised. It's the theology of the cross. The theology of the cross simply means that God is in our suffering, that God weeps when we weep, that God's heart is troubled when our heart is troubled. But with that beautiful thing, this text that we have today, Jesus wants you to know that there is peace in the storm. I mean, when your life is being ripped apart by that great winds of chaos and the great winds of death and suffering and heartache, we have been given a peace that can't be taken away. It's always there. That's the theology of the cross. You see, so often we believe that God created the world so many years ago and that God stepped away. It's easy to think that, isn't it? That we're just here meandering and wandering through this life because God created it and stepped away. But Jesus says in our gospel lesson this morning that I will come to you and take you to myself. That God didn't step away after creation. Rather, God took another step closer to us through the life of Jesus. I will come to you and take you to myself. I mean, this gospel lesson, especially the first number of verses, have touched my life in deep and beautiful ways. That God says, I go to prepare a place for you. That there's a place for us. That Jesus says that I will come to you and I'll take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. I mean, that's intimacy. That's closeness. That's togetherness. That our God is with us. Not far away. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And so often in my younger years, I always thought that this was obviously that space up there that I will prepare a place for you. But I also think about how does God act in our lives? You see, as a pastor, I'm called out to some pretty troubling situations. I've been called out to many situations that have left scars on my heart that I continue to weep for those that experience them. But I know that I can go into those spaces because God dwells there. Jesus says, I prepare a place for you. I mean, what would that look like in our lives if Jesus prepares a place for us here and now? And that means that I can go into someone's home this week who's fighting cancer, who is going to die, because I know that God dwells there, that God has prepared a place for her, for me, for us. Jesus says, so that where I am, you may be also. I mean, maybe that means for us in our lives as Christians that maybe we need to catch up to Jesus. That if Jesus has prepared, right, that's future, that God has done something there, that maybe we need to catch up to our God. We need to go to the places where God dwells. For you see, God dwells at that homeless shelter where we feed people each and every day just a couple blocks away from this congregation. That God dwells with those who are in prison right now who are full of shame, who are full of anger. That God dwells with those families who've been laid off this last month. That God dwells with those college students who graduated this weekend who have no idea what's in store for them in the next journey. But God also dwells with the students who are wondering if they're going to make it this next year. And can I say that God also dwells at your workplaces where you both receive fulfillment and frustration? Jesus says, I will come to you and take you to myself. I'll come to you. That means that we don't have to go to God because God's already come to us. That God has come to you. That our God, our Lord, and our Savior has come to us in all the anxiety and all the stress and all the troubles that we have experienced in this life, that God has come to us to take us to himself. And because of that beauty, I believe that you and I can live up to verse 12. It's a little bit of a shock if you want to look it up. You see, Jesus says, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. I mean, Jesus said that. The these meaning the things God did, the things Jesus did. I mean, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it, that you and I, in this gospel, Jesus says, will do greater things than Jesus did in his life. I didn't say it. God did. That you will do great things. And it's because God dwells here and in the places we live that you and I can do great things. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Know that God is coming to you and take you to himself. So maybe this morning, it's time for you and I to let go of that branch. Maybe it's just time for us to fall into the love of our God and to do those amazing things that God invites us to do. Amen.